Our topic this morning, and if you didn't receive an outline of the sermon, there are some spare copies there. It's an unusual reading at one level when I'm talking about healing, but it fits together in my thinking anyhow, so hopefully it's going to fit together in your thinking. You may remember 3 years ago in 2019, I mentioned to you a little girl who had come from Alice Springs. We have a daughter who's a nurse in Alice, and she sometimes rings and says, "Dad, could you visit someone in hospital?" And that was the case with this little girl, who at that stage was about 18 months. And there are times when I write down incidents in this book, just as a reminder to me. Her name was Iriana. She was born in April 2018. And lovely Aboriginal parents, a young couple. What had happened was her disabled brother had been taken into hospital for a checkup, and when they got to the hospital in Alice, this little girl collapsed. And they realised, you who are medical, that she had sepsis, group A, multiple organ failure, and an infarction in the brain. So those of you who are medical have some idea of what that might be. Well, I was asked to go to the hospital and I went. She was in PEDS, paediatric ward in ICU. So I just introduced myself and sat in the corner because she had tubes and bandages and everything coming out from everywhere, and there were a lot of medical people running around. Isaac, her brother, who was 2 years older, was in a wheelchair. He had an attachment with tube feeding, and he just sat there. The specialist paediatrician said to me, "Who are you?" And I said, "Well, I'm a pastor of a Baptist church." So he said, "I want to see you in my office before you go." So then he said to me, "This little girl's going to die. If she doesn't die, she will be a vegetable. She will not see or hear or talk. She will be tube fed and brain damaged." And they've already got her brother in a wheelchair. They don't need another situation. So I said to him, "I won't work against you, but I will pray for what God wants to do." So I visited regularly in the year, basically, that she was there, 2019. And it was gorgeous to get to know them and to get to know, eventually get to know a little bit about her. But they stayed at Ronald McDonald House. And on a Thursday night, apparently, the volunteers at Ronald McDonald House bring in food for the parents or people who were there. And they said to me, "Do you know what happens?" "No, I don't know what happens." "Everyone rushes and gets the food. They don't even stop and say thank you to God for the food." This is a lovely little Aboriginal couple. Anyhow, this little girl, Iriana, is in bed. Still with bits of tubes and stuff, but they've got a Bible at her head. They've got a picture of Jesus holding a sheep or a lamb at the other end. And when the bandages were taken off, they put a little hand-carved wooden cross in one of her hands. The doctors said her right leg is looking black, there's no blood, and in 2 weeks it'll have to be amputated. That changed after a while, and they said we may only need to cut off the foot. Then it changed again, we may not need to cut off the foot, but maybe just some toes. All right. After a while, she could hear, and her dad would often sit beside her if she got distressed and just either talk to her or sing to her in language, and that just calmed her down very much. Her eyes started to open. They had her sitting up sometimes in a little seat that was like a V that held her up. But they said, we want a Bible. And I said, you've already got a Bible up here at her head. They said, no, we want old Bible like Grandma. We want King James. So it wasn't hard to find a King James Bible here and take it in, but they wanted a King James. Right. So that was the story, and eventually, after nearly a year, they sent her home to Alice Springs. She certainly wasn't right yet. But this, I happened to go to the hospital 2 years ago when we were up in Alice Springs, and I met up with her mum and her again. And this is not brilliant, but it might just give you a little idea of what she's like. Thank you, Thomas. If you could show that for us, please. This is her.
Leland, wander around the garden. Yeah, come, come. Yeah, come. Yeah, I'm in your room here. Come. What can I do?
Hamburg, no.
Slowly.
That might be good. Oh, thank you.
Right. That was 2 years ago. She's just been back down in hospital, and I went and saw her this week. She's had something done. You can see her legs weren't quite right. So she'd had something done to one of those legs. But sitting up in hospital, eating like a horse, her mum says, talking, and obviously can hear and communicate. And you saw, this is the girl who was going to die, or was going never to move, never to eat, never to do any of that. This is this little girl. Well, she's moved on heaps from there and will be going to school next year. And I said to her mother, how is the language? And she said, well, it's funny, because when she plays with her cousins, she uses words that she's heard on telly. So the other day they were playing on some steps, and she said to her cousins, oh, let's go up the elevator. And her cousin said, elevator? What's the elevator? Oh, so why am I showing you this? Well, because it has quite an effect on me. I think it is just incredible. I did say to her mother, Renita, when I was there this week, I said, have you been back and seen the paediatrician who said that she was, you know, going to die and whatever? And she said, well, once when we were in at the children's, he wanted to walk on the other side of the passage when he saw us. He didn't want to see us. Yes. Now, since all of that earlier this year, her brother died, which is sad for the family. But this little button, Iriana, used to sing to him, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And she just says, he's gone to be with Jesus. So I thought, when I was reflecting on that and I knew that they were coming down, I thought, let's just have a reminder to all of us about the God who heals. Let's be reminded that he is our God. And so Our God heals is what we're looking at this morning. Now, I know that there's lots of sorts of healing, spiritual, emotional, physical, I've got there, social, demonic, and they're all interlinked. And I was just saying before church, you know, someone faces an exam or a certain situation that's emotional, and your emotions might be stirred up, but then you're sitting on the toilet for half an hour, or you're vomiting, and it just relates, or you get a thorn up a nail, and it's not only the pain in there, but your whole body sort of reacts. So it just proves how wonderfully we are made and how incredible this is. So this is what's been written, and some of you might remember Dr. Weatherhead. He was a man involved in the healing ministry. By healing then is meant the process of restoring the broken harmony which prevents personality at any point of body, mind or spirit from its perfect functioning in its relevant environment. It seems a bit complicated, but you can go home and have a think through this. The body in the material world, yes. The mind in the realm of true ideas, and the spirit in its relationship with God. So, when the psalmist says, you know, we are incredibly made, I think we realise we are incredibly made. Incredibly made by God, and how precious that he wants to put us back together. Now, there are lots of considerations, of course, lots of things for us to think about. So, there's life and death. Like when I was turning 70 a few years ago, I said to the family, well, will I cut the cake on my 70th and drop dead? Because if God gives us 70, is that a good idea? And actually, if you're all there for the party, you can have the funeral and it saves you coming out again. And however, that didn't happen. But reality says we do have to die. Even those people in Scripture who were resurrected or came back to life, ultimately, humanly, they still had to die at the end. So there's that. There's curing and healing. You know, some people are never cured of their disease, but they're healed. God heals them and allows them to live with it. How do you pray 3 times for the thorn in the flesh to be gone? And then you say 3 times, that's it, I'll live with it. Some of us have prayed more for something to go, I'm sure, and living with it. Our whole background feeds into our situation, the choices we've made, our age, as we get older, aches and pains. We have to cope with the fact that we are going to get older and we're going to die, and dying is only resurrection. Hey, we're not going to pass through a door or go into a garden. We're going to die so we can be resurrected. If we don't die, there's no resurrection. So we as Christians are the people with that hope, which is so important. And then, of course, there's medical care. So how does this fit together? Well, first of all, becoming a Christian, we become new people. Now, that doesn't mean, boom, new Christian today, everything's perfect and I'm healthy for the rest of my life. Well, I'm in a relationship with God for the rest of my life. But there might be still bits and pieces that I have to cope with. But there's a wholeness that God wishes to give us, and all things are new. But friends, throughout our life, that's going on all the time, isn't it? There's healing going on, there's restoring, there's renewing, and as we go on in life, these things continue to happen. Now, dis-ease or illness can result from lots of things. It can be hereditary. You know, some of you have probably got things that parents and grandparents and whatever had. My mother, her maiden name was Berry. And the Berry sisters all had weak chests. So when I have a cough or a cold, Helen says, you've got the berry chest. And some of you might have other bits and pieces from other relatives. Who knows? And things that you might just have to live with for the rest of your life. Things occur, of course, through an accident. Who knows? The environment in which people are brought up. We have things pressed into our brain. Choices we make, our age and other things. So there are lots of things that disturb our life. And some of those things are not necessarily only things related to us. So let's just look at some of these things. And as I say, they are often interwoven. But medical science, and we've got some medicos here, I know, and I'm sure they would admit that medical science doesn't have all the answers. But we have a belief in God. So that's an encouragement, I think, to us. So first of all, there can be a spiritual sickness which might result from personal sin. Maybe a lack of forgiveness, a bitterness, critical spirit, an uncooperative or unprayerful person, resentful, blame others, unloving. It's good sometimes just to have a check through that and say, do any of these things, any of those things part of my life? Is there a spiritual sickness in me as a result of any of those things? Let me just check. Now, this isn't for other people to point out, but it is for us to just check. Am I spiritually sick? And confession and repentance. I'm not sure that we are good at that, and I say we, including myself. The Anglican friends go through the prayer book each week with a confession. Now, that doesn't mean that they confess. It might mean they just read the words. But friends, confession and repentance means acknowledging and turning. That's what repentance is. Acknowledging in confession and then turning, and not more. So maybe we need to think about that, forgiving. And I've got there that we need to pray for conversion or maybe recommitment. If you're not a Christian, maybe that's where you need to start. Renounce the past. Yep, the past is gone. Maybe it isn't. Maybe it is my fault. It's my responsibility. And I love that I read on a church notice board. Hardening of heart, or hardening of heart, is far more dangerous than the hardening of arteries. And that's true. We might die from the hardening of arteries, but how sad to die from the hardening of a heart. So, the first thing is that spiritual situation. Time, maybe, to check. Do I fit into this category? Secondly, emotional. Maybe the result of sin, may be damaged by other people. We can be affected. Those of us who are parents are affected by children and grandchildren. Some of you are affected because your heart breaks, because your adult kids aren't where they should be spiritually. And so there's an emotional response because there's an emotional attachment. And that has an effect. Or it might fit into some of these other situations. A sense of worthlessness, erratic behaviour, anxiety, unreasonable fear, compulsions, perfectionist, supersensitive. These things cause emotional tension, anxiety, stress, these sorts of things. And friends, some of you might be living with some of these situations. Adoption, divorce, separation, neglect, depression, poverty, abuse, anger, all of these things. Even this week, this weekend, in the Australian, in the magazine, people have written in about the effect of divorce. Parents who were divorced, and these people are writing and commenting and saying, we are still, or I am still, at 34 or 45, still affected by what happened when my parents separated when I was 12. It doesn't wipe out easy. So, friends, there is emotional baggage sometimes, emotional heartache as a result of things that have happened in the past. And so, while we mightn't actually know what normal behaviour is, sometimes we need a healing inwardly from God, a touch of God inwardly. What do we pray for? Well, perhaps for peace, for clarity of thought when there's anxiety, correct decision making rather than reacting emotionally. When we're hit up emotionally, we react, but actually it's not always appropriate reaction. And then an openness to the truth. I've got there, the past belongs to the devil. Now, that's easy to write. But when we become Christians and we are new people, then the Spirit of God has come to live in us. And we know, don't we, what the devil will do. You shouldn't be reacting like that because you're a Christian. You shouldn't be having those feelings because you're a Christian. Do you really believe all of that stuff, that rubbish that Satan feeds into us? And we really need to say, gone. I'm not going to take that on board because I'm a new person in Jesus. I am living a new life. Now, I don't say you just do that with a click of the fingers, but I say we need to take that on board. If we are new people in Jesus, we need to hand over these emotions to him. As well as our sin from the first one, we need to hand over our emotions. It's by our fruit we're known, but sometimes, friends, it's those roots that seem to have a control over us. So we need to deal with them. What about physical stuff? Well, I'd certainly say this little girl, Iriana, that was physical. So we're aware. Accident, car, at birth. Some of you know we've got a little granddaughter who was born without a hand. And so it's a physical situation. Something can happen at sport, the environment, our upbringing. We do crave, don't we, for something to be done in that whole world of domestic violence, because we realise that not only are children going to suffer in that area, but it's going to have an emotional effect and who knows what other effect. And then there are choices that people make, whether it's the choice of drugs or alcohol, and sometimes physically just age creeps up. So there's pain, there's discomfort, there's deformity, and all the rest of it. So what can we do? Well, we believe God heals. And Iriana's an example of that. She's not back to perfect, but certainly, amazingly, down the track. So what do? Well, we ask for people to pray for us. In James, the Bible says, if anyone is sick, let them call for the elders and they will come and anoint and pray. Father, that's part of the ministry of the church. Part of our belief that God does heal. And part of our belief that the ministry of the body is important. So if you are unwell and you believe a ministry from the elders would be appropriate, we would happily do it. So please don't hold back. Anointing and dealing with it. What's the next thing? Well, the next thing is social. And what do I mean by that? Well, sometimes the family causes upset and causes illness or sickness. Sometimes it can be work, it can be church. Not everyone in church gets on. So these things can cause upset socially. In a minute, we're going to be having communion. And I'm interested with what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11. Because there he says, and you've heard it 1,000 times, the night Jesus was betrayed, this is what he said. This is my body, this is my cup, this is my blood, this is... And then he says, some of you are sick and some have died because you did not discern the body. Now, people have disputed what that really meant. Did it mean that the group who gathered and heard that and whatever hadn't discerned, and when in Corinth there was all the upset, had they not discerned what it meant to belong to the body of the church, because there was lots of upset there, or had they not really discerned what it meant for Jesus to be saying this? Now, if it meant that the upset in Corinth, and you know they were saying, oh, I've got a better spiritual gift and there's immorality and all the rest of it, if it was that behaviour and stupidity in the church that was causing upset and causing some people to be sick, some people have even died, well, it's a bit of a challenge. Like, all right, well, we'll take this, but I don't get on with everyone. Right? I have a young friend who wanted to be a Baptist minister, and he was in one of our Baptist churches here in South Australia, he and his young wife. And he was asked to lead communion one day, and he stood up and he said, I can't lead communion because there is too much division in this church. What a brave statement. What a brave statement. But how true it was. There was dreadful division in the church. This is a feast of just joy and celebration together. So, when Paul wrote in Corinthians, some of you are sick and have died because you didn't discern the body, is it not getting on together, not understanding? Or is it not understanding the body of Jesus? So we need to understand both. But friends, is there anything more healing and therapeutic than the Christian church? When we come along, give each other a hug, talk, share, whenever we meet during the week or Sunday morning, there's a dimension of healing. And I often say to Helen when we're driving home, or she'll say to me, oh, I just appreciate the parents who make the effort to come with their children because I realise how difficult it is. We've got 4. So every week, getting to church. And what that ministry is to us, the parents make the effort to be there. And when we all make the effort to be there, how healing and therapeutic it is. But of course, there is probably nothing worse than a division in a church to cause hurt and heartache and upset. So I come to say, friends, pray. If you're in that situation, pray. You think no one likes you. Be a friend to someone. Move out to someone. And be part of the healing community of God. The last thing is demonic. You know, I cannot get past the lady in our church at Lilydale who said she had the demon of gluttony. Love, go on a diet. wasn't the demon of gluttony at all. She was just greedy. So, friends, we shouldn't be blaming demons for things. This, to me, is the last resort. Now, I've been involved in an exorcism, but this is the last resort. Maybe you've been involved in some forbidden area. A young guy, when we were out at Enfield, arrived one day, year 12 student from the school, to say to me that he had been involved in a coven of witches in our area, and one of his friends who was involved at the Church of Christ had said to him, "This is wrong," and so he just came to me to verify what his friend in the Church of Christ was saying. You know, is this wrong? Yes, it is. So we laugh and say, "Oh, witches, oh, how stupid." But they dance in Botanic Park. I've seen a group dance in Botanic Park, white witches. So we need to be careful of some of this stuff. Some people who've been involved in seances, you know, put your finger on the glass and laugh. And it's sometimes not a laughing matter, some of that stuff. So we need to be careful. So I've got there maybe past involvement in forbidden areas, cults or seances. So prayer, yes, not everyone needs to be delivered, but maybe prayed for. And we realise that it's an attractive area. Oh, demons. But it's a dangerous area. So please, please be careful. Now, Jesus desires whole people. And I simply want to say today, friends, Jesus still heals. A lot of his ministry is there. And you're saying, where on earth does he fit this Bible reading? Well, it seems to me that Jesus was on that boat and there was a storm. And I think sometimes when we are confronted with illness or when we're confronted with emotional upset or whatever that causes disease, we go into a panic. I just want to remind you, friends, if you're a believer, Jesus is still in the storm. Jesus is there in the boat with you. Actually, he was asleep. And the storm is going on and he's asleep. The storm is going on and you're in a panic. But let me say, Jesus is still there. So, in whatever situation you might face, whether it's a physical one or an emotional one or a social one, Jesus is there with you and God is still in the situation of healing people. Our God, we thank you that you are the healer, you are the great physician, and so whatever our situation is, we thank you that you, as it were, figuratively, are still in the boat with us. Reach out your hands and touch us, we pray, for we ask through Jesus. Amen.